Hi, I'm Shane Bishop, Senior Pastor of Christ Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. This is 2018, and it's our State of the Church Address. I'm ready to go. Let's get at it. This is the Sunday every single year that I give the State of the Church Address. Now, if you are our guest for the very first time, I want you to know something. You've picked the best possible Sunday to be here. Because if I was looking for a church, the first thing I'd want to know is, where are you people going? Because if you're not going anywhere, I don't care to go with you. The fact is, we only have one life on this earth. And how we spend that, where we invest that life, makes all the difference for eternity. I'm excited about this message. And I've got a little spoiler alert. We are going somewhere, and we'd love to have you go with us. First of all, there's going to be some numbers in this message, just like there are in Luke and just like there are in Acts. Our church exists to connect people to Jesus Christ. And if we are doing that effectively, there will be people to count. And we ought to be counting more and more of them every single year. But you need to understand something. Each number represents a story. And every story belongs to a person. And every person matters to God. So we count people because people count. Finally, you invest your tithes and offerings in this church because you want to be faithful to God and because you believe in what we do. I think it's important for me to give an annual account of whether or not the resources that you are investing are actually bearing fruit. I would never, ever expect you to invest in an ineffective congregation. And I just want to put that right on the line. Also want you to know that we are one church in four locations. And if you kind of consider the internet, the fifth location is everywhere. So one church, four locations plus the internet. Now, I am looking at the success and joys of this church of us collectively. I'm not saying this is the celebration of the CM campus or the Fairview Heights campus or the Millstadt campus or Fairview Heights Facebook Live or the Scott campus. This is all of us. So what I'm going to share with you is what God is doing through all of us collectively. So let's start at the beginning. Let's look at what Jesus said the church should be doing until his return. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it simply says in the New Living Translations, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, some translations say, and remember this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So, from the Great Commission, we get five really big ideas about what the church is supposed to be doing. First of all, we are to go, not stay, go. And we are to go in the authority of Christ. Number two, as we go, we are to make disciples of all nations. I want to be very clear. It doesn't say go and do good. It says go and make disciples. I want to be crystal clear on this. As we're making disciples here, we're going to do a lot of good, but doing good is not the mission of Christ's church. Number three, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are we baptizing people or are we not? Number four, teach Jesus' commandments. You can't teach them if you don't know what they are. So we got to get in the Bible, we got to learn them, we've got to teach them. And number five, remember that Jesus is with us. He hasn't just given us a mission and parachute dropped us. Jesus is with us always, even unto the end of the age. Nothing about the Great Commission is easy in a fallen world. Jesus is most clear about how difficult being the church is going to be. A church committed to being effective in the Great Commission is going to be criticized. The church committed to being effective in the Great Commission is going to be attacked spiritually. They're not always going to have an easy go of it. The Bible is really clear about that. And I want to assure you, I've earned every one of these white hairs that I have on my head over these past two decades. Let me tell you what I believe about a church. Number one, I believe that healthy things grow. I say this all the time when I'm out speaking, and people always look at me kind of incredulously, and they'll say, our church isn't growing. Are you saying we're unhealthy? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you may not grow every single 12 months, but if you're not generally growing, if you're not reaching new people, yeah, I don't think you're healthy. So healthy things grow. But growth necessitates change. So as you grow, it forces you to change. Number three, change causes discontinuity. Nobody likes change. And number four, how we handle discontinuity determines our health. Are we going to handle that discontinuity functionally and biblically? Or are we going to handle it dysfunctionally and non-biblically? If we can navigate through that cycle, if a church can navigate through healthy things grow, growth necessitates change. Change causes discontinuity. And how we handle discontinuity determines health. If we can navigate that, we will go right back into healthy things grow. A growing church requires resilient, sacrificial, and utterly exceptional people. Like so many of you. People who place the mission of the church above their personal preferences. So let me tell you a story this morning, a story literally two decades in the making. In the summer of 1997, Christ United Methodist Church, who had just relocated to what is now 339 Frank Scott Parkway, received a new pastor. That new pastor replaced Bill Cooper, who had been the pastor for 8 years, the longest tenure of any pastor who had ever served the congregation. The congregation had previously moved from where McAllister's Deli stands on Highway 50, right across from Burger King over by the mall. It had recently relocated. And as a result of the relocation, the congregation had a phenomenal year. That particular year, the church averaged 242 in worship, more than it ever had before. It averaged $3,794 a week in the offering. It received an unprecedented 55 members that year, 23 who came on profession of faith, which means they weren't previously a part of a church. And they celebrated 22 baptisms. See, so many of the naysayers, so many of the pundits told the people, don't move, don't relocate, it's not going to work. But let me tell you something. Those people who preceded me here and preceded so many of you here took the leap. They stepped out in faith, and God honored that. In 1997, we had this feeling of optimism. There was this feeling that maybe God wanted to do something really cool here. We had 426 people on Easter week. We had 305 on Christmas. It was exciting, but no one could have possibly imagined what God had in store for us, especially that 35-year-old preacher who just showed up. If you flash forward to 2007, a decade later, that was the year that the Fairview Heights campus entered their brand new sanctuary. 1,100 seats. $6 million. And at that time, we held 5 services every single week. This historic moment capped off 10 consecutive years of growth since the relocation. And that year, we averaged 975 a week in worship. Offering averaged $38,532. We received 121 members. 66 joined on profession of faith, and we celebrated 51 baptisms. That year for Easter, we had 1,178 people that week and 2,054 for Christmas, the first time we'd ever broken 2,000 on anything. There was this feeling of expectancy. But I have to tell you, I don't know if any of us could have imagined what God would have in store for us over the next 10 years, especially that 45-year-old pastor. One of the scriptures we have painted on the wall in the entry area of Fairview Heights, what we call Scripture Hall, is Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. And I'd like to read that as our text for the day. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." You know, in 586, 587 BC, Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar, literally razed the city of Jerusalem. They tore down the walls. They burned Solomon's temple to the ground. Worse yet, they took the best minds out of Jerusalem, and they marched them half across their world to a place they had never been before to be assimilated into Babylonian culture. A decimated Israel was now a vassal state to Babylon. It was physically divided, and frankly, it was in theological crises. They believed that they were God's chosen people, but if God was against them, who could possibly be for them? God's voice to that group of exiles was delivered through an imprisoned prophet by the name of Jeremiah. He had predicted the fall of Jerusalem, and he saw Babylon as God's chosen instrument to bring punishment to God's people for their sin. Now, in direct contradiction to the somewhat naysaying prophecies of Jeremiah was a prophet named Hananiah. Hananiah had all these prophecies that said things like, the Babylonians aren't going to be in power very long. We'll be headed back to Jerusalem before you know it. And he went on and on and on. His following got bigger and bigger because Hananiah always told people what they wanted to hear. And finally, Jeremiah calls for a battle of the prophets. He calls Hananiah a liar and a false prophet, and then he predicts his immediate death. Jeremiah 28:12 succinctly reads, 2 months later, Hananiah died. Suddenly uncontested, Jeremiah writes to the exiled Jewish leadership in Babylon. And he writes this letter from Jerusalem that speaks as much to God's people today as it did in the roaring BCs. There are 9 big ideas from this particular passage, and if you're taking notes, now's when you do it. Number one, when God speaks, we do well to listen. We do well to listen. My friends, if God pings your heart, if God whispers in your ear, listen to God. Heed God. Number two, it's this plan to stay. I want to be very clear about something. We're not in anything for the short term here at Christ Church. Your campuses, we're not in campuses for the short term. We're not on the internet for the short term. We are in it, and we plan to stay. Number three, do not dwindle away. You see, my friends, if we don't grow, the church won't grow. God didn't plant great churches across this nation so they could just dwindle away and lose their edge and lose their fire. God has something great for us. Number four, work for peace. In a crazy, antagonistic world where we are so divided about almost everything, a part of what Jeremiah tells God's people to do is work for peace. And yet peace is not the absence of conflict, my friends. Peace is the presence of God. Perhaps God has put Christ Church precisely where God has put Christ Church to invoke the presence of God into the cities that we represent. Number five, he says to work for prosperity. I've never played anything planning to lose. I've lost, but I've never planned to lose. I don't get into ministry. I don't start a year thinking we're going to take it on the chin. I start every year thinking we're going to win another one for Jesus and the Methodists. I just love this kind of thing. Yeah, I want to work for prosperity. I want to be effective in the Great Commission. I don't want to be a so-so church. I want to be a great church in all the way that God measures greatness. He says to pray for the city. I want to see our buildings become houses of prayer. The places the community associates with prayer during challenging times. 7, don't listen to false prophets. There are always going to be people whispering in our ear. I don't know how many people have told me, churches only grow for so long. At some point, you'll plateau and Christ Church will start to die. And I always want to say, I do not receive that. I don't receive that. You're trying to give that to me? I don't want it. You keep it. I do not see any reason why Christ Church can't be effective and effective and effective again for decades to come as long as we put Jesus first. So I'm not going to listen to false prophets. I'm not going to listen to naysayers. 8, God has big plans. Christ Church is God's enterprise. This isn't my church. This isn't your church. This is God's church. This is a God thing we are a part of. And 9, if we seek God, we will find God. It is this connection of which our mission speaks. If we have a burning desire to connect people with God, I assure you, God wants people connected, and it will be so. It'll be so. So let's take a look at our 2017 year. This begins my 22nd calendar year. And this 55-year-old pastor is staggered, literally blown away by what God has done here. We now offer 13 real-time worship services at 4 locations every single week. We've launched Facebook Live on Sundays, which reaches between 2,000 and 3,500 people each week. We have added an 8 o'clock worship service at Fairview Heights. We've added Tuesday Going Deeper services at all of our campuses. We have all 3 of our campuses in beautiful, functional, right-sized spaces. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That are wonderful 24/7, 365 facilities, and they're all gorgeous. How grateful I am to the Lord. And we have unveiled our Unstuck worship service that happens on Thursdays that also reaches another 1,000 people a week on the internet. The new children's wing at Fairview Heights is a pure blessing. And our student ministry, which all of our campuses share, is stronger and larger than it's been at any point in the history of this church. For the year, we averaged a record 2,395 people a week in worship. We averaged $74,529 per week in the offering. We received 161 new members, 114 of which joined on profession of faith, and we celebrated 86 baptisms this year. Each of you who gave financially, each of you who serve, each of you who volunteer, you all share a stake in what God is doing here. It is something we are all a part of. We are shareholders in the great work of God. So I would like to kind of juxtaposition a couple of things. Worship attendance. What I want to do is look at 07, look at 97, look at 07, and then look at 2017. Worship. In 97, we had 242. 10 years later, 975. 10 years later, 2,395. Slide 2, offering. $3,794 a week. 10 years later, $38,532 a week. 10 years later, $74,529 a week. New members, 55 in 55 in 1997. 10 years later, 121. 10 years later, 161. Professions of faith in 2007, 1997, 223. 10 years later, 66. 10 years later, last year, 114. Baptisms in 97, we baptized 23. 10 years later, 66. 10 years later, 114. Next slide, Easter attendance. In 97, we had 426. In 07, 1,178. And this year for Easter, we had 4,179. And finally, Christmas week attendance. In 97, we had 305. In 2007, 2,054. And 2 weeks ago, we had 4,520. Praise God. Let me share four things that are coming up this spring at Christ Church. And then I want to give you the results of your Christmas offering. Number one, we have started a legacy foundation. And we're going to encourage you. Frankly, I'm going to encourage you to join me and Melissa, who've already done this, and simply include the church in your will and include the church in your estate. We're really excited about this. Number two, when I get back from Israel, we've got a brand new series coming up. It's called Next Year People. It's 7 sermons on hope and the way that hope plays out in difficult times in our culture, in our relationships, in our tragedies, in our vocations, in our finances, and for all of eternity. We're going to launch on January 21st. Our worship team is going to do some cover songs about hope and hopelessness from everybody from James Taylor to Chris Stapleton to Ed Sheeran to Tracy Chapman. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to have some great stuff. It'll be a perfect series to invite people. Number three, we're getting ready to jump into an all-church study a little later in the spring. The one thing I hear over and over from people is that they need help with their prayer lives. Our all-church spring study this year is going to be over the short and practical new book by an incredible young Methodist pastor by the name of Adam Weber. It's simply called Talking with God. Pam Huff is going to be leading us in our journey. We're going to be forming new groups. We need new group leaders. We're going to ask you to step out in faith and do something maybe you've never done before and join a small group in the weeks leading up to Easter. Number four, we've got Confirmation 2018 coming up. Happens on Sunday afternoons at the Fairview Heights campus from 2 to 4. It'll be the Sunday afternoons in March. April 15th will be the Confirmation Sunday that we'll celebrate at your campuses. And finally, let me give you our Christmas offering totals. We had a lot of things we're supporting. Let me tell you what we did. R3, which is revitalization in East St. Louis, we gave a check for $2,525. Feed My Sheep Ministries in Honduras, we sent a check for $2,525. Right Turn Ministry in Honduras as well, we sent a check for $2,525. Bibles for Honduras is going to get a check for $2,525. Christ Church Philippines, where Dr. Kaz Kagas and the team are right now following up on our work, are going to get $2,525. The Illinois Great Rivers Conference Children's Ministries, our children's homes and those type of things are going to get $5,050. The Network of Caring, which helps people in this church in times of crisis, is going to get $5,050. And our Wonderfully Made ministry that reaches out to children and families of children with special needs is going to get $5,050 to help them outfit some new space. Fellowship of Christian Athletes, a ministry we love to support here, is going to get a check for $7,575. And our big project this year, which floats around Planet Christ Church, is for projection systems that are almost at the end of their shelf lives at the Fairview Heights campus for $15,150. All in all, Christ Church, you raised $50,500.26. Thank you for supporting our Christmas offering. It throws resources in a whole lot of exciting directions. Now let me close by thinking about 2027. As I prepare to leave for Israel tomorrow or Monday, I wonder, what incredible things does God have in store for us for the next 10 years? I certainly have some ideas, but we all know that it's all up to God. But I can assure you of this. We're going to relentlessly pursue our mission of connecting people to Jesus Christ. And we will keep the main thing here. Christ Church, I believe as long as we are faithful to God, as long as we keep the mission above our personal preferences, as long as we continue to support this congregation with our tithe and with our talents, I believe with everything in me, we have a future and a hope. And I believe our best days are ahead of us and not behind. A future and a hope. I can't wait to see what God is getting ready to do. And I'm so excited to enter that future with you. Would you pray with me? Great and mighty God, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing. And thank you for the incredible things you have yet to do in our lives, in our families, in our world, and in our church. In the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.